Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. We are previewing the Super Bowl here on this podcast. So you're going to hear from Lance Risland. We're going to talk through some of the matchups. We're going to talk through how Kansas City can win, and we're going to talk through how San Francisco can win. Then Tyler Shoemaker is going to hop on and talk some gambling angles. Now, we recorded that on Thursday morning, so some of the lines might have moved. Some of the props he gives out might have moved. I'm not sure. I haven't double checked yet, but just a heads up, that was recorded on Thursday morning. If you go and look for some of those bets that we gave you. And then I'm going to go through and I'm going to just throw out some prop bets that I like at the very end. So that's coming up here on this Super Bowl preview edition of the Orange Brown Talk podcast. Now, here is Lance Risland talking all about the matchup.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And now we welcome Lance Risland onto the show to preview Sunday's Super Bowl. Lance, how are you?
Dan, I am very well. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, getting ready for this game here. Super Bowl always kind of sneaks up on me. It's weird. You get these 2 weeks here, and then it's like, oh, yeah, there's a football game on Sunday. But here we are. So we're going to go through both sides, how they can win this game. We're going to look at some of the matchups that can determine this outcome. And then at the end, I want to get a pick from you. So let's just start with Kansas City. How do they win this game?
Well, offensively, they got to not become one-dimensional. It sounds kind of weird when you think, like, you don't want Mahomes to throw a ball every time, but you can't let that defensive line just pin their ears and get after it. So they got to run the ball just enough. And Pacheco has shown that he had, I think he had 24 for 68. So not great numbers, but just enough. Kind of what with like the Browns, they have to be productive runs. Who else besides Kelsey, right? So they got to be able to, you got to think with 2 weeks, they're going to have a plan for Kelsey, you know. So who else for Kansas City is going to step up? Last week it was Rice. I like what he did. Mahomes is the kind of guy, he makes everybody better. You know, when you watch the film, it's kind of obvious, but he's the best player in the NFL right now, and there's a reason, because everybody else plays. You know, is it going to be Scaldez, Valdez-Scantling? You know, who's going to make plays? But I think it's got to be him and Rice besides Kelsey. Defensively, they got to be able to stop the run, which is something they have not been able to do. They're six in the playoffs amongst all the teams that were in the playoffs. They were mediocre, 18th in the year, giving up 113 per. You know, they've been really good with points per game and turnovers, but they have to do a couple things. First of all, they're going to have to create some turnovers because Mahomes is going to get his points. Mahomes has not thrown a touchdown. An interception this playoffs. The 49ers have 22 on the season, which is tied for first. You got to think Mahomes, you know, you got to hope for some turnovers. You got to hope that you make them pass only so you can get after it with your pass rushers. Sounds kind of weird to make them pass only, but that's really what you got to do so you can at least create some pass rush. If they have a 50-50 mix, you're in big trouble as the 49ers. So that's kind of what I think they need to do. They need to find somebody else besides Kelsey. Somebody else has got to step up. Mahomes has to be Mahomes, which I think there's no question he will be. They got to figure out a way defensively to make Purdy beat them. But you know, it's going to come down to, you know, can they get Mahomes going? You know, he had some struggles this year, but as the playoffs have started, him and Kelce have been unbelievable.
The Chiefs are a really fascinating team to me this year, kind of how they've learned how to play with this roster. And I'm going to read you something here. And if, you know, Ravens fans, this has got to drive them crazy that they aren't playing in this game. If they hear this, second half possessions for the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, this is how they ended: punt, 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 and then end of game. Three of those possessions were three and outs. So they got that lead, and then they really kind of leaned on that defense against the Ravens. And, you know, you go to the Bills game, right? The defense really played well in the second half of that game. It's really interesting to me how this Kansas City team has sort of figured out this is how we have to win games. And it's not like how they usually win games.
Well, you know, that defense is really, really good. So they're very good. Snead, I think, that's one of my matchups, him and Ayuk. But I think he's a next level guy. So he's able to lock down a side. He's big. He's physical. He's long. Chris Jones inside is going to cause a lot of trouble for the 49ers. It's going to be interesting because the defense, I think the linebackers, you can attack them in the pass game, which is something Shanahan is pretty good at with, McCaffrey. So that defense is carrying them, and that's kind of what got them over the hump. And then obviously when it gets to money time, you know, it's kind of, you and I have talked about it for 2 years, Kelce's going to get it. What are you going to do to stop him? And they're continuously able to do that by moving him around.
Okay, let's move to the other side of this matchup then. How does San Francisco win this game?
Well, they got to run the ball. And I know that sounds cliche, but they got to run the ball for two reasons. One is it's going to – that's the weakness of that defense is stopping the run. Like I said, they've been mediocre all year. And secondly, you know, it keeps the ball away from Mahomes. So, you know, that's – in my opinion, he's got to have as minimal – especially when the game's online, he's got to have as minimal snaps as possible. It's going to shorten the game. It's going to put pressure on – if you can, you know, get a 6 to 8 minute drive and score – it puts a little pressure on that offense to be pass only. And then maybe you can turn those pass rushers loose. Maybe you can get a pick because you've been good at that. So I think that's their best bet is they got to run the ball. They got to, you know, Kittle, I think Ayuk and Snead are going to kind of cross each other out. The interesting thing, and we'll talk about more in the matchups, but I think that'll be, you know, if you mark those two off, Kittle's got to be big and Deebo Samuel's got to be big because I think those guys, you know, on paper, the 49ers, I think, are a better football team from top to bottom. Unfortunately, you know, quarterback makes everybody better, and he's Mahomes is that good. But I think the 49ers got it. They have to make him one-dimensional. They got to run the football to shorten that clock. They got to get Kittle going against those linebackers and against those safeties. Deebo Samuel's got to be good in both the run and pass game. Purdy's going to have to make enough plays. I don't think he has to carry him. That's not what he's about, but he's got to make enough plays. And, you know, all week I've been asked, can a game manager win a game? That's what a quarterback is. I'll never understand that title of a quarterback. That's what a job of a quarterback is. And for his team, he is with guys who he has a tight end. He has multiple receivers. He has a great running back, a really good offensive line. That's really what a game is. That's what a quarterback is for the Chiefs. It's going to come down. Mahomes has to win it. Now, Mahomes, you win because of, but Purdy, you can win with. So I think he's just got to make enough plays. And then defensively, you know, some of those guys that they've added got to make some plays. Young, some guys in the secondary. You know, I think Warner's got to be big, but it comes down to, can they run the ball and keep it from Mahomes?
Okay, so let's get into these matchups. What do you think they are? What are the ones people should circle on Sunday when they're sitting at that Super Bowl party, figuring out their squares, figuring out what dip they're going to have? What matchups should they be watching?
Well, they better be having buffalo chicken dip because that's really the only dip they should have. I think the number one matchup for me is Kelce and what Andy Reid does with him against those linebackers and secondary guys. You know, I think those linebackers, you got those guys inside, they're really good runners, they're good football players, but, you know, can they stop Kelce? And that's really what it comes down to. What is the plan for Kelce? Because he's going to get it. And I think with the, you know, that matchup, they have to figure out, when you watch it on film, what Kelce is really doing well right now is he's getting those little chunk plays, those 6 to 12 yard plays. So I think you got to, you know, can they double him and pressure him off the ball and make Mahomes throw it vertically to him? Now everybody's like, why would you want to throw the ball vertically to Kelsey? Well, it's a slow death or it's a fast death. And in the fast death, you have a better chance percentage-wise. That vertical pass is harder to complete, allows maybe some pass rushers to get home. But if they nickel and dime you and chunk you to death, they will do it all game. And if you look at the games, Buffalo game and the Ravens game, those little chunk plays are just killing the defense. So that's the first thing is, can Kelsey get it going? I want to see what Reed does with him, because just like with Cooper Kupp and these elite guys, they can put him everywhere. He can do a bunch of different things. He can motion, bunch, one, two, and three strong, out of the backfield, et cetera. So I'll be excited to see what Reed does, and can those linebackers and secondary guys find a way to slow him down.
You know what I was thinking while you were sitting there going through the 49ers weapons on offense? So if you were to do a draft of the skill players in this game, so actually, I don't even know if you have to say skill players, but not take Mahomes, right? Mahomes would go number one if we were drafting offensive players. Just take the quarterbacks out of it. I guess I wonder, where would you take the first chief and where would you take the second? So like McCaffrey would probably go first.
Yeah, I'm going to take I got to go McCaffrey first.
Would Debo go second?
I would go Debo second just because of versatility and what you need in a Super Bowl game. You know, in a big game like this, you need versatility. He can run the ball if they're struggling. He can, you know, because he's a guy you can get touches to. You know, think about with Kelsey is that they can't pass protect. It's hard to get up to the ball. Debo, yeah. You can do different things. So I would, and just by sheer numbers, I would go Kelsey three. But then I'm down the line a while before I take probably Chris Jones. Because
I'm just talking on the offense. Just talking offense. Yeah. So I don't know who would be next, Rice or Pacheco, maybe.
I would take Pacheco just because he can.
But that would be after. I mean, after Ayuk. If I could take Trent Williams, I would take. Like, it's just interesting to me how San Francisco. This used to not be the case with the Chiefs ever, right? Like, they always had the most talent on offense to go with Patrick Mahomes, which again is why they're so fascinating, but. You know, if we flipped this argument on its head, you might take more Chiefs than you would 49ers on the defensive side, right? Chris Jones would be an early pick. I know Nick Bosa would be an early pick. But
Snead would be up there.
Snead, those DBs.
Snead's been awesome. I'm feeling he's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's just fascinating how, you know, you would normally think, oh, San Francisco would have a better defense than the Chiefs. But it's interesting how both those rosters have sort of flipped over the last few years.
Well, for me, it goes to show you it's a quarterback-driven league. And I've heard you and Mary Kay and Ashley talk about it even before I started working with you. It's you have to have an elite guy, especially in these games. And when you have an elite guy, if you take a guy like – obviously you take Mahomes out of it, you take Kelsey out of it. You take a guy like Rashee Rice, you know, last week, he had a pretty good game, and I don't know how good of a player he is, but I know with Patrick Mahomes, he can be really good because he can run really well. Valdez, Scantley, he can be really good. He's got some skill. He made a big third down catch to win the game, to ice the game last week, going out of vertical. They got him on a vertical route on Mallet. So there's some things when you have that elite quarterback, it kind of shortens the distance between how much better a receiver is for the 49ers than a receiver is for, you know, the Chiefs. That closes the gap because he makes that receiver that much better. And that's what those guys do. Those elite guys just make everybody so much better. But you're right. If you look at the roster, you could, and I'll play devil's advocate with you a little bit. You could argue a lot of those 49ers defenders too. This really comes down to when you watch a lot of film, which I got to do. You gave me a good early time to watch this film. He's just that good, and there's rarely few guys like that. He's entering that Tom Brady kind of era where it's just like it's hard to bet against him. You're looking at – and as a football coach, run the ball, stop the run. There's a lot of things that are not with the Chiefs, but there's Patrick Mahomes just like there was Brady. So – I don't know. He's a guy who's just playing at a different level, and he seems to really turn it up in the playoffs.
Yeah, I should give Fred Warner some credit. And yeah. I mean, San Francisco's got some dudes on that defense, and that's even without I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, but the safety that they lost for the season, who they drafted, I think it was in the fifth round last year.
Yeah, I can't say his name either.
Yeah, but he's awesome.
He was like, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, if he was on the field in this game, so they certainly do have difference makers on that 49ers defense for sure. Okay, so what are you thinking in this game? Are you in the don't bet against Mahomes camp, or are you thinking 49ers?
Well, you know, so the Chiefs struggle to stop the run. I've always believed you win with stopping the run and the ability to stop the run. Well, there's a good chance the Chiefs aren't going to run it very well, and there's a good chance they won't stop the run. I know it's like, right? So my coach brain says 49ers, if you look at the roster, if you look at everything, I'm not going to be the person who go, you know, me and you talk next week and you go, yeah, we're going to talk to Lance today because Lance picked the 49ers. Why would you pick against Mahomes? Because Mahomes has the ball on the last drive. So I won't be shocked if the 49ers win, but I'm taking Mahomes last drive, 31-30. I think it's a high scoring game. I just think he will find a way to make it work in the end. And until you're proven wrong, same with Brady, you know, you're going to have to go out and beat him. I think if you're going to beat Mahomes, though, you have to have an elite roster. And you have to have elite coaching, what the 49ers do. They have an elite roster. They can keep the ball from Mahomes. They can cause pressure on him. They can turn him over. It's just, can they do it Sunday? Because that's what they need to do. But they do have the talent to do that. You have to out-talent the Chiefs. And they have better talent at a lot of position than Chiefs do. But I got Mahomes until you prove me otherwise.
Yeah, and I'm so torn. Like, I want to be the guy that says, oh, come on, the 49ers are just the more talented team. But, you know, I had made the case before the AFC Championship game. I thought the Ravens were just like that team this year. I thought they were the team that was just, they were the most complete team. I thought they were like the team that just had it figured out, playing the best football at the best time. I would argue maybe they had the best defense in football this year. Right there, or maybe right behind the Browns, probably one of those two. And look, the defense played well against Kansas. Their defense actually played really well against Kansas City. And yet still, Patrick Mahomes figures it out. And he did it early in that game. He figured it out against Buffalo. I mean, I would argue that Buffalo is maybe a more talented team than the Chiefs in some areas. So I don't, it's just too hard for me to sit here and say, well, San Francisco's got all this talent, so they're going to win, because I'm scared to death of Patrick Mahomes. And I've seen him come back twice in two super, I've seen him come back from double digit deficits in two Super Bowls. So, well, I don't know if it was double digits the first time, but I've seen him come back and win two Super Bowls late. Like, it's just too hard to pick against him.
So you're taking the Chiefs?
Yeah, the Chiefs. I'm thinking about what I would regret the most, and I think that would be the thing. Like, because that's what happened in the AFC Championship game. I picked against Mahomes, and I'm like, what did I do?
You know what a really underrated thing going in this game too that I should have mentioned. We talked matchups, and I'm sorry I got a long winded. Is that Spags versus Shanahan is a really good matchup too. Spags doesn't get enough credit for what he does defensively. With his simulated blitzes, he plays a lot of man. He plays a lot of cover two. So his ability to scheme up Shanahan, which is kind of what Shanahan's known for, is really impressive too. So you got guys, even Wilkes, you got guys who can scheme it up in 2 weeks going at it. So that's a really good one for me too. Seeing that Chiefs defense, Spags' defense against the 49ers and Shanahan too.
Yeah, that's the other part of it. That defense is so good. And that secondary is so good. So I don't know. I don't have a good read on this game.
I'd be shocked if Mahomes doesn't win in the last drive. That's where I'm at. It might not happen, but I would be shocked if that's not the case. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. If he has the ball to win it, with like 3 minutes left, I guarantee you get a text from me, because I'm gonna be like, all right, we'll talk Tuesday, because we know what's about to happen. So. We'll have good pod material for Tuesday. If he gets the ball with 3 minutes left, or 2 minutes left, or a minute left, Kansas City wins.
All right, there we go. That is Lance Reisland joining us to break down both sides of the Super Bowl. Now, I told you that I was all twisted in knots trying to pick this game. Well, I did talk to Tyler Shoemaker, so he's going to at least give us a little betting advice on this game. So that's coming up next on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Lance, thanks for the time.
As always, thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the Orange Brown Talk podcast. Now we welcome back someone we haven't had on in a little while, Tyler Shoemaker. Tyler, how are you?
Dan, good to be back. The last month or so without Orange and Brown Talk on Thursday mornings has made my Thursday mornings a little boring. So I'm glad to be back.
But it's freed you up to give out college basketball winners, women's college basketball winners, all over the place.
Yeah. Thankfully, I mean, we are neck deep in college basketball season now, getting geared up for March Madness. So definitely staying on top of the numbers. On my second screen here, I've got the numbers updating right now as we speak for men's and women's college basketball.
Yeah, give Tyler a follow if you're into college basketball. Find him on X at T-Shoe Index. He tweets out his link for college basketball, his best bets, his men's games, and then he tweets out his women's games too. So give him a follow. And I have noticed those lines do move fast in women's basketball.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much at this point, I kind of was being naive to it at first, but at this point, like when I put out my bets, it's moving the market like several points. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then they move quickly. Okay. Let's get into this game here. Chiefs 49ers, the Super Bowl. We're not going to go real deep on prop bets and things like that. I'm going to throw a few of those out a little later in this podcast. But let's talk about the game itself. And let's just start with this number, the 49ers and Chiefs. Right now it's sitting at 49ers minus 2. Is that about right in your mind? I mean, this game has had 2 weeks to kind of sit here and marinate, and I don't think it's moved all that much, honestly, that I've noticed.
No, it hasn't. And I mean, the interesting thing is, and again, I'm not huge on the public betting splits thing, but if you look, you're seeing like 70% of the bets are on the Chiefs. The line has just sat still, take that for what it's worth. My number on the game is actually Niners minus 4. So you say, oh, well, that's only 2 points of value. That's not a ton. However, we talk about key numbers, the most key number being 3. So we're getting on the good side of 3 here. If you like the Niners, like I do here. So I do like the number. I am surprised, or I will be surprised if it doesn't touch 3 by kickoff, but we'll see, cause most of the public bets are going to come in here in the next couple of days anyway, leading up to game day. So we'll see once that action starts to really come in heavy and limits get lifted on, bigger bettors. It'll be interesting to see if this number moves.
And I think this is interesting. This is one of those cases where I think so many people have bought into the idea that they're just not going to bet against Patrick Mahomes. So I'm not surprised to see right now that there's so much public money on the Chiefs, even though I think the 49ers, I think if it weren't Mahomes on the other side, if it were just some normal quarterback, I would imagine the 49ers might be pulling in more in this game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the Niners have been the more consistent team throughout the season as my numbers reflect, because as we've discussed on the show, my numbers take into account, your whole body of work, not just the last couple of games or whatever. So I agree. I literally haven't heard a single person on X or otherwise say like, oh, I'm going against Patrick Mahomes. Like everyone's like, oh, I can't bet against him. So, if I were betting the Chiefs, I would be a little nervous by that, because it's like, man, I literally haven't heard anybody say they're on the Niners in this game. And for a game that's as heavily bet as the Super Bowl is, obviously, you would expect to see a little more balanced action. So it's interesting that the bets have been so lopsided to this point.
Okay, now the total on this game, at least on DraftKings, I haven't checked FanDuel right now, it's 47.5. What do you think of that total?
Yeah, I'm at about 44, so I'm a little lower than that, which, again, you go back to the Patrick Mahomes thing, and it's like, can you quantify, what he's going to bring to a Super Bowl? So that would make me a little nervous to take an under on the game, and especially as the Niners have shown at times this season, they can really put some points on the board as well. So my numbers on the under, I don't love it as a best bet. I would go elsewhere the best bet, but if I had to make a pick, I would be on the under.
Yeah, I just looked. FanDuel has it 47.5. Interestingly, their line is Niners minus 2.5. So there's a half point difference right there between those two books at the moment. So it sounds like just the game overall, it sounds like you like the Niners minus 2 in this spot.
Yeah, I do. That would be my best bet on the side in this game. Niners minus 2, like I said, 2 points of value, not a ton, but because we're getting, under 3, I would lay the 2 points with the Niners.
And then on the money line, you've got the Chiefs are plus 100. I guess I mean, if you're betting the Chiefs, I mean, at +2, shouldn't you just take the money line? I mean, there's not, it's not like it's +100, but it's better than taking the Chiefs at +2 at what right now is -118.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the play. If you like the Chiefs and you're, you know, one of those people saying I can't bet against Patrick Mahomes, I would just take it on the money line.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit. Well, let's get into, I know you had another favorite bet in this game. So what was something you liked?
Yeah. So I'm going to contradict myself a little bit here. I said the under overall scared me mostly because of what the Niners have been capable of. I mean, the Chiefs just haven't really had those scoring outbursts throughout the year. I talked more about that. I wrote an article for VSiN this week, kind of talking about that, but I like the Chiefs team total under 21.5, you know, getting that hook there, that half a point, really makes a difference here for me. And the odds are +120 on that the last time I checked. So I've got the Niners as the number two defense in the league. I just have a hard time seeing the Chiefs going over 3 touchdowns. Like I think they could get to 21, but getting over 21 against the Niners in this game, I don't see it. And especially if you're going to give me +120 odds on that, I do like that. And then kind of piggybacking off of that, I think Patrick Mahomes' passing total has been bet up kind of too high here. It's at 262.5. So I would go under 262.5 on Patrick Mahomes' passing yards.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting because, you know, as weird as it is, unders for the Chiefs seem like a good play. Cause I mean, like you said, it's not like they've been lighting up the scoreboard. You look at how they played Baltimore last week, you know, they had a good first half offensively and then Baltimore shut them down in the second half. And the Chiefs kind of relied on that defense that has sort of been their formula after they've kind of figured out how they're going to win games. It's been relying on that defense.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I was on the Chiefs team total under. I gave that out before the Ravens game, and I was a little nervous in the first half, but it did cash. I mean, the Chiefs offense, again, looking at the whole body of work, I've got them rated 13th in the league, whereas the Niners offense is number 3. So I've got the Niners number 3 on offense, 2 on defense, the Chiefs 13 on offense, 3 on defense. So to your point, they've really – the defense has carried them, which is not, you know, I don't think that's what the public perception is of them. But when you actually go back and, you know, kind of look at their scores and look at their performances, it's been the defense that's won them games more often than not.
Okay. During the season, we talked a lot about first quarters, first halves. I'm kind of over first quarters in the NFL because you bet an over in the first quarter and the team that starts with the ball punts and the next team holds the ball for 8 minutes and it's like, okay, this was stupid.
Dead,
yeah. I still like first halves though. And when I look at this game, the first half total, well, so the Niners are -0.5 for the first half. The total is 23.5. And what's interesting here is the over is actually +100. On DraftKings. I don't think I would touch a first half over on this. That's kind of telling you all you need to know. But what do you think of some of these first half numbers?
Yeah, I mean, again, that's shaded higher than what my numbers would have it. I would think it would be, you know, more like 21.5. So again, if I had to make a play on the first half total, I would take the under. The Niners -0.5 in the first half is interesting. I wouldn't mind a, you know, a half unit on that or something, because I think, like I said, I just think they've been the more consistent team throughout the year. I'm really curious to see how the Chiefs offensive line holds up against, you know, the Chase Young, Nick Bosa combination. So that's kind of a matchup that I'm looking for. And then obviously as a Buckeye fan, I'm looking at that as well from a rooting standpoint. So I think that's the matchup I'm most curious about when the Chiefs have the ball. But yeah, I would definitely be, again, under and on the Niners with those first half lines.
So I'm curious. And, you know, like I said, we're not going to go deep into all these crazy Super Bowl props, but how much do you actually like do on the Super Bowl as far as like, do you, if you're going to bet it, do you kind of just stick to the traditional stuff? Do you dig into the props? How do you generally approach this game?
Yeah. I mean, as we've talked about, like I'm just so numbers driven on everything that I don't really like to bet things that I can't quantify or project myself, or at least have a good resource that can project them. So, you know, like people, I saw there was like a 6-figure bet on the coin toss and like, you know, crazy things like that. And I just, if I can't quantify it and feel like I have an actual edge on the bet, I'm not going to do it. I spend way too much time, you know, pouring into the numbers to just like give back profit that I've made making crazy bets just, you know, based on my gut. So I personally don't go too far into it. I tend to stick to the normal script of, you know, sides, totals, and, you know, maybe the occasional player prop, but that's about as far as I go.
So I can't talk you into like purple Gatorade or like the length of the national anthem or anything like that.
No, but it is so like there are people that do dive into that. I just, from a time standpoint, I don't have time to go research the color of Gatorade for the last, you know, 50 years. But I do follow some people that, you know, will tweet out like those sorts of tidbits of like, oh, well, the last 3 years it's been orange Gatorade or whatever. And it's just funny that, I mean, but again, if you're going to make those bets, like you should put in the time to at least try to quantify it somehow and feel like you have an edge.
Yeah. Instead of just throwing something at you know, some random number. I will say one of the things I always watch for MVP is if it's not a quarterback, it's usually a highly targeted receiver or a defensive player who can make splash plays. Now, good luck, you know, good luck nailing that and figuring out who that defensive player would be. But if you're looking for value there, I am going to throw one weird one at you. Okay. I'm just curious what you think. It's actually not that weird, but you could do exact points scored in a half. And Chiefs 13 points in the first half is plus 1,000. Could you see this being like a 13-10 game at the half?
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, plus 1,000, that's probably not bad because, you know, as we talked about their game last week, they kind of came out a little stronger in the first half, which had me nervous for my team total under bet. But then, like you said, got shut down. So I will be curious to see how they come out of halftime in this game, you know, against that defense, you know, what adjustments Andy Reid might have up his sleeve. But no, at plus 1,000, that's probably not a bad, you know, $5 or $10 bet.
All right. Tyler, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, follow me on X at T-Shoe Index. It's where I'm giving out all my plays, you know, any betting nuggets that I come across. And read my work at VSiN.com. That's where I'm writing up. I put out my college basketball projections there, as well as my men's best bets. And then I tweet out my women's best bets because the lines don't get posted till closer to game time.
All right, Tyler Shoemaker, it's good to talk to you again. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Back on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. I'm going to try and come up with some prop bets that I like here. Some things that I'm considering. So I'm going to look through and find what I like. So the first thing that kind of stands out to me when we look at player props is Brock Purdy over rushing. You know, not a guy that moves around a lot, but he did move around a lot against Detroit. His over rushing hit in that, it was like 7 in that game. So I feel like the Brock Purdy rushing over, and I'm going to pull these odds off DraftKings, but also make sure you're going over and checking like FanDuel and stuff like that, finding good odds, finding good numbers, things like that. So it's because sometimes the number's a little higher, a little lower in different places. So if you're betting overs and unders, you want to make sure you're getting that. So right now DraftKings has Purdy at 12.5. So I think I kind of like that number. Brock Purdy to get maybe one or two decent runs. See what he can do. Now, I was looking at the George Kittle number. The Chiefs gave up the 9th fewest yards to tight ends during the regular season, and Baltimore didn't really get either of their tight ends going in that game. I'm a little nervous about the George Kittle number on DraftKings. It's 50.5. So I could see a world where he has like 3 catches for 37 yards and even scores a touchdown. Or maybe he goes over that number. Right now it's minus 115 on either side. I think I'm going to stay away from that. But I will tell you one that I'm kind of interested in is the Isaiah Pacheco over receiving yards. Again, not great odds on this. It's 17.5 at minus 115 on either side on DraftKings right now. But that's one that I'm looking at too, is maybe the Isaiah Pacheco over receiving props. I think he might get involved in the passing game. I'll put it that way. I'm also looking at Pacheco anytime touchdown score, but to be honest with you, the odds aren't great on that. Like with him and McCaffrey, anytime touchdown score isn't that great. You've got three players, McCaffrey, Pacheco, and Kelsey, who are minus odds to score a touchdown. So as I kind of look through anytime touchdown scores, both the defenses, the 49ers are plus 600, the Chiefs are plus 650. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is plus 600. If you think one of the quarterbacks might get in, Brock Purdy is plus 750. So I don't know. Mecole Hardman is plus 1300. I mentioned this with Tyler. I'm looking at that Chiefs first half over 10.5 points. They've scored 16, 13, and 17 in the first half in their three playoff games. And the 49ers obviously got torched by Detroit. And they did give up 174 first half yards to the Packers. Now, the Packers didn't score a bunch of points. They didn't turn that into touchdowns. But I don't know. Chiefs over 10.5. And the other kind of fun one I like, Chiefs exact first half score. Plus 800, 17 points. Plus 1,000, 13 points. Why not stick like a dollar on both of those? And if one of them wins, you get your money back and then some. And if they lose, you're out a couple bucks. No big deal. All right, Super Bowl MVP. This is the last one here because I'm sure you're tired of hearing me talk. So here's the thing about Super Bowl MVP, right? It goes to quarterbacks a lot, right? Quarterbacks win the thing all the time. But when a quarterback doesn't win Super Bowl MVP, there's two types of players that generally do it. I remember Doug LeMaurice and I talked about this last year. It's either a defensive player who makes splash plays, right? Who is just the best player on the field, or it's a receiver who gets a bunch of targets. So if it doesn't go to the quarterback, but it goes to an offensive player, it goes to a receiver, usually a Julian Edelman, a Cooper Kupp, who makes a bunch of catches, gets a bunch of targets, right? Travis Kelce is that type of guy, plus 1,200. Could we see a game where Travis Kelce has that throwback, 10 catches, 150 yards, two touchdowns, and instead of giving it to Mahomes, they give it to Kelce? Maybe. Debo is a guy. You know, could he maybe get that? Could one of the 49ers receivers get it? I think it would probably be more McCaffrey, though, if a non-quarterback is going to get it on the offensive side for the 49ers. So McCaffrey is plus 450. That's okay. But Travis Kelce is plus 1,200 on DraftKings, which is a very interesting number. And then when you look at some of the defensive players, so again, we're looking for guys who can make splash plays, you know, some sort of return for a touchdown, or maybe they have like 3.5 sacks in the game, something like that. Nick Bosa is plus 7,500. Chris Jones is plus 10,000. Fred Warner could end up being the best defensive player on the field in this game. He's plus 12,000. Here's one. Do you know you can get Sam Darnold for plus 20,000? Don't do that. And as you go down this list, you can find a few defensive players that maybe Legarius Sneed plus 15,000. What if he has like 2 interceptions and returns 1 for a touchdown? You have to kind of pick the right guy, right? Like it's a roll of the dice, but maybe you can find one. So if it's not Mahomes, if it's not Purdy, you want to look for a defensive player who makes splash plays or somebody who gets targeted a lot in the passing game and might get a bunch of catches, although McCaffrey's a little different. McCaffrey is certainly a guy that could win it from the running back position. Okay, there we go. Those are some of the things I'm looking at here on prop bets. Don't tail me, because I'm really bad at this. But I will say this. If you're going to take the Chiefs plus 2, just take the money line plus 102. I think the Chiefs are going to end up winning this game. Okay, thanks to Lance. Thanks to Tyler. We'll be back with a normal week of podcasts next week after the Super Bowl. Thanks to all of you for listening.